It's good to see you all. What a beautiful Lord's Day we have to worship this morning, and we are glad you're here. We also invite you, as you just saw, tomorrow night will be our last installment of this year's Awesome August, and it has truly been, as all of them are and have been, awesome, and we look forward to what the Lord will do tomorrow night. But first and foremost, we are here to worship this morning, so let me begin us in prayer, and then we'll welcome my guests. Father, thank you for calling us here this morning. And Father, we may think that it may be somewhat out of habit that we're here, but God, it's a divine call that you have us here for a divine purpose, to praise your name through music and through fellowship, and to, Father, to hear your word proclaimed. And I pray, Father, that you give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, and hands and feet to work for your kingdom and for your glory. God, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're a guest of ours, especially welcome to you this morning. Hopefully you received a worship folder as you entered. If you would, just introduce yourself to us by simply detaching that little piece of paper from the back of that worship folder and filling some information out and let us know who you are, and you can give that back to us in one of several ways. But the best way is to come out to our Welcome Center. You'll see us out that door to your left, or just go down the big hallway. You'll see us on the right. We have some volunteers there ready to greet you, and we have a gift bag and some information to share with you about who we are as a church family, and we'd love to have you join us there at the Welcome Center after service is over. Now, Brother Tim is just going to lead us in call to worship, so let's just stay put just for a second, no gathering about, and let's worship the Lord together.
Thank you. Praise of man. Pray with me. Father, you are such a good, good Father. Father, you're also our provider. You're our strength. We love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love towards us. And Lord, as we turn our attention, as we continue to worship you in our giving and our tithes, we pray, Lord, that you would use these for the building of your kingdom, for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Deep. Well, thank you, choir and orchestra. Fantastic music to prepare our hearts for the Word of God. And I invite you to take your Bibles and open up to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 18. That's where we'll be looking this morning at the Word of God. And we'll continue, as you've already seen in the introduction there, at another of the stories of Jesus, the parables. We're talking about those. And I brought something with me onto the platform that many of you will recognize. How many of you recognize this product right here, y'all? How many of you have this product right here somewhere? Yeah. And most all of us have used this. It's a great product, isn't it? Aren't you glad that they came up with WD-40? But I bet most of you don't know what WD-40 stands for. And it's interesting. WD stands for water displacement. Water displacement. And the 40 stands for how many times it took them to get the formula right. They failed 39 times and finally got the formula right on the 40th. Chuck, here, you can have this until the second service. They failed 39 times to get this formula, but when they got it right, didn't they? And such a great product, WD-40. And the message is simply this: don't quit. Don't stop trying. Don't give up when you face a failure. Don't give up when you meet obstacles. Keep going. And I don't know, but my guess is probably there are some of you here today and something's happening in your life right now that has caused you to think that God is not listening to you, or has caused you to feel like just quitting, just giving up, just throwing in the towel. Well, I want to utter one simple word to you this morning: don't. Don't. In today's story from Jesus, he tells about a woman who was relentless in her pursuit. And the results were very good, but she had to relentlessly pursue a judge in this particular case. And if you're physically able to do so, I want to ask you to stand up this morning as we read and honor the Word of God, beginning in chapter 18 of Luke and verse 1. It says this: "And he," that is Jesus, "told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, 'In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him, saying, "Give me justice against my adversaries." For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Father, thank you for your word. Father, may my words be anointed with the Spirit of God, and may our hearts be ready to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And you can be seated. Now, we generally refer to this particular parable as the parable or the story of the persistent widow. And now some of the parables that we've already looked at and some that we will look at in the future, some of them are hard to interpret at times, but not this one. This one is pretty straightforward. It's very clear. And Jesus uses it to illustrate several things of particular importance for our spiritual life. For example, he uses it to teach us about the importance of persistence. I'm convinced that you could take this text and you could just pull out the principles of persistence and just talk about the importance of that alone, just being persistent. But Jesus teaches us about a never quitting with God. He also uses this parable to show us the importance of prayer. The story affirms that God's desire for us is to ask and to seek and to knock, and this is a picture of that persistent kind of pray. It also teaches us the importance of persistent praying. You see, you could use it and you could talk about praying. You could use it. You could talk about persistence, but it becomes even more powerful when you put it together and you talk about persistence in prayer. And Jesus uses it to teach us how persistent prayer actually is profitable to us and brings the work of God into our lives. Now, in this parable, we have to understand a couple of what we would call exegetical ideas. For example, the first is this: we do not know what specific injustice had occurred in this woman's life. In this parable, we don't know what caused her to be so persistent with this judge wanting justice. We don't know what happened to her, but evidently something terrible happened, or some terrible injustice occurred in her life, something that was not right, and she was not going to settle for anything less than justice. Now, we don't know what it was, but here's the other half of that. We don't need to know what happened to her to understand what Jesus is teaching us. It really is superfluous to the point that Jesus is trying to make in this. So that's the first thing we need to understand about the text. The second thing we need to understand, and this is often confused, is that the unjust judge in this story is not reflective of God. A lot of folks try to make the judge in this story be God, and it is not. In fact, the judge in this story is referred to as an unjust judge, but this judge in this story is actually a contrast to God Himself. And here's what I mean by that. If a hard, unsympathetic person who cares nothing about God or people can be influenced by persistence, Jesus is saying, how much more so could your heavenly Father who loves you be influenced by persistence? So the judge is not a picture of God. In fact, he's the antithesis to God. He points out that if an unjust judge could be persuaded by persistence, how much more so your heavenly Father who loves you as his child would be influenced by our persistence. So today what I want to do is I want to give you three things that show why persistent prayer is important and why seeing God work in our lives and in our needs is often the result of persisting or enduring in prayer. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about persistence in the Christian life. The writer of Hebrews tells us to run the race that is set before us, to run it with endurance. Paul tells us and writes and tells us that we are to not grow weary in well-doing. We are to continue that, that whole process. The scripture tells us that God began a good work in us and he will complete that good work. The Bible teaches a lot about this idea of persistence. But when you put that together with prayer, it becomes very personally powerful in our lives. And so let me show you several things. The first thing I want you to see is that persistent prayer is prescribed. Persistent prayer is prescribed. If you go back to verse 1, and I want you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to look at another passage here in just a bit. But if you'll notice verse 1, he told them this parable, and he tells the reason for telling the parable. He tells them that to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. He prescribes for them the course of persistent prayer and not losing heart in it. It is easy sometimes to think, well, God's not listening, and I'm praying, and I've been praying, and I don't think I'm getting through, and we just stop. But what he's saying here is that we should always pray, not give up, not allowing our feelings to overwhelm our spiritual discipline, and not allowing our feelings to overwhelm our faith when we're praying. We pray and we pray, and then we don't feel like anything's happening. I've had people tell me, I pray, Pastor, and I feel like my words just bounce off the ceiling over my head. Now, I want to tell you something. It's just not true, because your prayers are not predicated on how you feel about your prayers. Your prayers are based upon God telling you to pray, you being disciplined to pray, and bringing your needs before Him and laying them there, praying for others, what intercessory prayer, all of those elements, you come and you present them to Him. And because you don't feel like your prayers are getting through is completely irrelevant to the prayer process. Because God hears. In fact, for you to say, well, I don't think God hears, the only thing that will create a barrier in your prayer life is sin. If I regard iniquity or hide iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. That doesn't mean he can't hear. It means he wants you to deal with the sin to clear the way, to reestablish clear lines of communication. But so he doesn't want us to lose heart. He wants us not to be overwhelmed by our feelings. He wants us to maintain. And by the way, did you notice this passage ended when the Lord returns, will he find faith on earth? Now that is related to prayer. It's related to how you faithfully follow God, but it's related specifically to this text and prayer. Will people have given up by the time he comes back and just stop praying, just stop connecting? Will the Lord find faith on earth, or will we be so overwhelmed by our situations and our feelings that we just stop? And you know, if there's any area that we tend to quit in or give up on quickly, it's probably prayer. Would you agree with that? I mean, that's the area that's easiest for us to stop. So Jesus urges us to keep at it, even when we don't see an answer ahead or a way through. Now, this story is an acknowledgement that God doesn't always answer our prayers immediately. In fact, the truth is, if he did, this parable wouldn't be necessary. Right? Because remember, he introduces the parable. The lead-in is to say he wants us to the effect that we would pray and not lose heart. In other words, we'd pray and not give up. God doesn't always answer our prayers immediately. This parable affirms that, but now God always answers prayer. He just doesn't always answer our prayers on our time and in our way. Now, let me just say this. Persistent prayer is not a tool to manipulate God. Prayer is not about manipulating God, and that's not what Jesus is suggesting here. But it is to be practiced in partnership with the will of God. Listen to what John wrote in 1 John. He said, "And this is the confidence that we have heard, that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." See, that's in accordance with his will. You say, so I got to be in his will. Yeah, you need to be in his will. And he hears according to the power of persistent prayer is because it's linked with the will of God. People ask from time to time. I told somebody recently, I wish I'd have known this. You know, as a younger pastor, I would have told people, listen, if you want to be in the will of God, you just seek God with all your heart. You pursue God. You chase after God. And you will be in his will when you pursue him, because he wants you in his will. And so he wants you in his will. And when you're in his will, guess what? Your prayer takes on a new power to it. Now, everything we pray for is consistent. Everything we pray for should be consistent with the will and purpose of God for our life. But much of the time, we're not completely sure of what that is, right? I mean, we think, we hope, we wish, but much of the time, we're not completely sure. So we have to, as I said, pursue and persist with God. But let me give you some reasons here this morning that God doesn't always answer our prayers quickly. And you can scribble these down if you can write fast. But let me just give you several of these. One of the reasons God may not answer our prayers quickly is because he wants to see if we love him. He wants to see if we love him. And so he doesn't respond immediately because he wants to know, is the relationship with him as valuable just to have the relationship, or is it a relationship just to get an answer? You see? He wants to know, do we really love him? A second reason that God may not answer our prayers quickly is he wants to spend time with us. And you know, for some of us, we don't spend much time with God until something happens in our life, or there's some crisis, or there's some need or something, and that situation puts us on our knees. And God really wants to spend time with you. He created you for relationship. You're not a hobby to God. Did you know that? You're not God's hobby. God the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit weren't in heaven saying, you know what, we're bored up here. And so we need a hobby. Let's create people and a planet and all that kind of stuff. You're not a hobby to God. He created, and by the way, you're different from angels. You know, we hear this, sometimes people say, well, you know, when I die, just, you know, go to heaven, or we'll hear somebody say something about, they're in heaven, they're with the angels. They're with the angels, but they're not an angel. Do you know God created you above the angels? Do you know that's what the Bible says? And so God created you specifically to have relationship with him. And so sometimes he doesn't answer our prayers immediately because he wants to spend time with us. Here's a third reason. Spiritual warfare is going on. Sometimes God doesn't answer quickly. Spiritual warfare is coming. If you go over to Daniel chapter 9, you see that Daniel was praying and his prayers were being fought by Satan himself. Sometimes it's spiritual war. Hey, let me just insert something here. There are a lot of people going through spiritual warfare right now. Spiritual war is always going on. But sometimes the intensity of it in your life is different. And I want you to be here beginning the first Sunday after Labor Day. That's September 9th on the PM service. I'm going to do a series. It's been a long time since I've taught on spiritual warfare. And I'm going to do a sermon series on spiritual warfare entitled, Are You Prepared for the Battle? And so I hope you'll be here for that. But sometimes our prayers are not answered because of spiritual warfare that's going on in our lives. Let me give you a fourth reason. Sometimes it's because we're not ready for the answer. We're not ready for the answer. And God knows we're not ready for the answer. And so God says, I want you to keep seeking me, and you seek me, and the answer will come at the right time. And then here's a fifth reason. Sometimes God doesn't answer immediately because he is growing us through the pursuit of him. He's growing us. He's actually developing our soul. This is an exercise to develop us, and he wants us to develop spiritually. And so he is growing us through the pursuit. So sometimes he doesn't answer as quickly as we'd like. And then last, sometimes God delays his answer or doesn't answer immediately because he wants to see if we're serious. Are you serious about this, or is this just the latest thing you've decided to ask about? And he wants to know how serious we really are. So there are reasons that God doesn't always respond to our prayers immediately, but that must not prevent us from persisting in prayer, okay? He prescribes it, and we have to practice it. It's relational. It's all about relationship, all right? Persist in prayer. The second thing I want you to see this morning is that persistent prayer is powerful. Look at verse 5 in the passage. Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Persistent prayer is powerful. It changes things. The judge said, now listen to this, you're going to like this. He said, I'm going to give what she requests. He said, it has nothing to do with my fear of God or my respect of men. I could care less about that. But he says, this woman's wearing me out. And effectively, listen, in the Greek, when it says she's going, her constantly coming to me, she will, I'm going to give her what she, so she does not beat me down by her continual coming. Listen, in the Greek, you know what that is? So that she does not, by her continual coming to me, give me a black eye. You know? So that she doesn't give me, that literally in the Greek is what it means, that she doesn't just beat me up. It's a pugilistic idea. She is wearing me out. She's beating me down. When the judge met this woman, he met his match, didn't he? You see, no matter how long the judge ignored her or denied her plea, she returned to his court asking for justice again and again and again. And the judge finally threw up his hands in disgust and frustration. Not on the basis of religious grounds, he didn't care about that. That didn't cause him to act, and he had no real religion. It wasn't on the basis of social justice grounds because he didn't care so much about that. He cared nothing for people. He simply had a job to do as a judge, and he did it, but he did have his limits on his patience, and so he finally threw his hands up and said, give her what she asks and get rid of her. Now, again, let me clarify something. The judge and God are not the same in this story. God does not get irritated by your persistence. But again, the point is, if an unrighteous judge could be moved by persistence, how much more so a father who loves you in heaven by your coming to him and coming to him, Father, 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 Father. How much more Father in heaven who loves you? I think I told you this before, but I served in a church some years ago, and I would often pray on Sunday mornings, and I would say, Father, and I'd pray some more and say, Father, and pray some more and say, Father. I had a man in my congregation who counted how many times I said, Father. And he came up to me one Sunday afterwards, and he said, Pastor, he said, did you know you said the word Father 7 times in your prayer this morning? And I said, no, I did not. I said, you obviously were counting. Why weren't you praying? He said, well, don't you think that's a little excessive? I said, well, let me put it to you this way. By the way, my name is Ray. His name was Ray. And I said, Ray, let me put it to you this way. When my earthly father was alive, I never recall him getting offended when I called him father. No matter how many times I called him father, I never remember him saying, would you stop calling me that? I said, I can't imagine that I offend my heavenly father when I refer to him with a term of endearment. Father, 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 you see, this isn't the same. Judge, 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 I want justice. Give me justice. Give me justice. Jesus says, if a persistent woman can get an unjust judge to say, I give, you got it. How much more a Father in heaven that loves you? Persistent prayer is powerful, and it's powerful because you know what persistent prayer is saying to God? It is saying that you depend on Him. That is, when you persist in prayer, what you are communicating to your Father in heaven is that He alone has the ability to respond to the matters that you're pursuing Him about. I know, God, you can do what I need, and I'm going to pursue you. It's powerful because it means, God, I am so dependent on you. Nobody else can do for me what you alone can do for me. And persistent prayer is powerful because it says, God, I depend on you. But it also says, God, I trust you fully. That's what persistent prayer is. It's powerful because it demonstrates that you trust God with the details of life. You trust Him with it. You say, I trust you, God. Not only do I depend on you, I trust you fully, even though I don't understand, or even though I don't see a way through, or even if I don't have an immediate answer, I trust your timing is what it says. I trust your plan. I believe you have a plan. I trust that, listen to this, I trust that you are hearing. I trust that you are hearing. Even though I don't see any indication, I trust your hearing. You know, my wife has laughed over the years at times when she'll start talking to me and I'll be reading a book or something, and I'll do what a lot of men do, and that is after a while she'll say, you haven't heard a word I've said. And I realize she's pretty much right about that. I haven't heard much of what she said. I've heard her voice. Why do you laugh? I've heard her voice. And then she said, you haven't, you know, sometimes she'll say, just could you put that down for a second? Listen, why? And sometimes that's what we think. I'm talking and God is not listening, don't we? I want to tell you something. God is not like a man. Praise the Lord. When you speak, He listens. You can be certain of that. And so you can trust that He is hearing you. But I'll tell you something else. It's powerful, not just because it says, God, I depend on you. Not just because it says, God, I trust you. It is powerful because it believes. It says, God, I believe that you have my best in mind. That you are for me. I want you to do something. I want you to look over. I told you I wanted you to look in our passage. Look over chapter 11. Chapter 11 of this same book. It's another story, and it's debated, is it a parable or not? I think it is. It's another story about prayer and about persistence and about praying in faith and those sorts of things. I want you to see this. In chapter 11, look at verse 9. And follow along with me, okay? And it says, and I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, now listen to this, verse 11, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Isn't that a great passage? He says, you know, ask, seek, knock, all that, those sorts of things. We know that passage. We know that verse. But do you get the rest of that? Jesus makes it real personal. He says, Which child going to their father says, Father, I need something to eat, and says, here, take a snake. Father, I need something. How about an egg? No, instead, I'm going to give you a scorpion. And his point is, no earthly father that's sane is going to deal with his child like that. He's not going to give him something bad. This isn't a cosmic joke to God. He's not going to say, ha, 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 you wanted some meat here, take a snake. That's not who God is. It's not how he operates. I tell you, this became very personal in Alice and I in our life, 30-something years ago, I guess. I don't know. We'd taken another ministry position, and we had not sold the house from the place in which we left, and we moved to our new place, and we needed a place to stay, and something came up, and it was a very good deal, and they worked with us. And so before you know it, I had two houses. That's what I'm trying to say. And there's some of that I look back and say, that wasn't real smart, but God took us through. Listen, I want to tell you, it's a testimony about tithing too. We didn't have the income on paper to care for two homes, to pay our bills and feed our faces. We never missed a bill, and I never missed a meal. And we never missed a payment on either of those. But it taught me again, and I didn't know where it was going to come from, and I just trusted God. And God just said, Allison, we trusted God. We prayed, and we said, but all through, it was a period of about a year, we prayed, God, we prayed this very spiritual prayer. Oh, God in heaven, sell our house. That's what we prayed every day. Pray, oh, God, sell us. The burden is heavy. Sell our house. Sell our house. Sell our house. And I want to tell you something. For almost a year, we never even had a person look at it. I want to tell you something. I was ready to give up. I thought, God, you're just not hearing me, are you? We persisted. We prayed. We persisted. God. And then they told us almost a year, somebody had come to look at it. And I thought, well, wow, but nothing. We prayed, God, we got so discouraged. But we kept praying. One morning in my time with the Lord, sitting in my office, I was praying early in the morning, oh, God, you know this burden is so heavy. Lord, I know you can sell my house. Sell my house. And it just so happened that morning that this is the passage that I read. That was where I was spending time with the Lord. And when I did, it was one of those moments, a passage that I was very familiar with suddenly became real and personal. And God whispered into my heart and said, you're my child. Now, by faith, you ask me to do what this passage is telling you to do. And here's how I prayed that morning. Lord, I'm your child. And you've told me if I came to you and I asked for bread, you wouldn't give me a serpent. And you told me if I asked for an egg, you wouldn't give me a scorpion. And so I'm your child. I'm coming to you. And God, I need you to move on our behalf. And I prayed that, and within a couple of moments, I had this unusual sense, it is done. It's done. And man, the burden was lifted. There was this great peace. I had prayed that by faith. I knew God had taken me to this, and I don't have time to talk about it a lot, but there are times when you say, well, I could claim that passage right now. There are times when God gives you the faith to believe the word that he's just given you. And that's when the timing and the word intersect. And that's why I suddenly had the peace. God said, it's done. He said, it is done in my heart. I got up. The burden was lifted. I went about the rest of my day. It was a pretty busy day. And I came home in the evening. I think I arrived around 7 o'clock. I pulled into the driveway. As I'm pulling into the driveway of our home, Allison is on the front porch. She did it better than I did. But she was there jumping. And I probably, we had not been terribly long. You have to be careful when you use the word terrible and married, don't you? We've not been married terribly long. And I probably hadn't learned all the right skills about how to relate. And so I got out of the car, and she's jumping up and down. And she said, "You're not going to guess what happened. You're not going to guess what happened today. You're not going to guess what happened." And me, I just said, "I know exactly what happened. God sold a house." And she goes, I kind of burst her bubble. And that's when I realized, you know, I probably should have handled that differently. And she said, "How did you know?" I said, "He told me this morning in my time." And sure enough, God had sold the house that day. I said, "He told me." Now listen to me. Persistence. Persistence. And then God says, "You're my child, and I care about you." He teaches us, keep praying. Don't quit, no matter what it is, until the answer comes, until the Lord says, stop. I've had that happen several times in my life where God said, stop, it's finished, it's done. But until that, or until the answer comes, you keep praying. That's what he's saying. You know, George Mueller, I told you for years, you ought to read about George Mueller. If you haven't, a great, great man of prayer, began praying for five of his friends. After many months, one of them came to the Lord. 10 years later, another two of them came to Christ. It took 25 years before the fourth man finally was converted and came to the Lord. And Mueller persisted in his prayers until his death for the fifth friend. Four of the five, he prayed for 52 years for their salvation. Four of them got saved. Mueller died, went to heaven, and the day of his service, the fifth one came to God. Listen, persistent praying is prescribed. Persistent praying is powerful. But here's the last thing. Persistent prayer is profitable. Look at verse 7 in our passage. Look there. "And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?" Persistent prayer is profitable. He says, Jesus says, God's hearing and God will respond to the prayer, the persistent prayer of his people. You see, prayer is profitable because what it does is it brings all the resources of heaven down to our earthly needs and situations. And Jesus applied this story for his disciples. And he applied it by reminding them that if an uncaring human judge acts like this, how much more will your heavenly Father act toward you if you will persist? Now let me show you something I've saved for the end of this message. These principles are clearly taught, and they are clearly applicable for our prayer life and for our spiritual life in general, just being persistent, not quitting with God. But here's what I want you to get that I say for the end. The context here is actually to be persistent in prayer in the midst of life's difficulties and injustices and sufferings. You see, this woman, she had been, the whole setting is that she had been done wrong. She thought it wasn't fair. Her situation, her circumstance was whatever it was, it had consumed her. And that's the context behind the persistent praying that Jesus urges us. Life is difficult. It's full of difficulty. And those difficulties will suck the life out of you. Those difficulties will cause you to just say, this is the way it is, and this is what I have to settle for. In other words, what Jesus is really wanting us to understand is that when life isn't fair, keep praying. When suffering is experienced, keep praying. When trials seem overwhelming, keep praying. When they lie about you, keep praying. When you're sick and you need healing, keep praying. When the world misrepresents or maligns you, keep praying. Do you get it? Relentlessly keep praying, because God is listening to you. God is hearing your prayer. And he will one day, Jesus says, in response to your persistent prayer, come and bring justice to your circumstance. And here's the application for us. There are many things that aren't right in this world as it relates to God's people. And those kinds of things can cause us to stop seeking God or to just give up, throw our hands up, or to quit praying. But listen, we must not, because God is listening. God hears your persistent cries and prayers. So keep on praying and keep on believing. Why is it important to persist? Look at verse 8. I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. You say, wait a minute, speedily? This is because there hasn't been an answer. Hang on, I'll tell you what that means. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Here's what he's saying. When the Son of Man comes to set the wrongs right, he'll do it speedily. When the answer happens, when the circumstances are dealt with, when the justices are resolved, it'll happen quickly because he says, I'm coming. And when I come, everything changes. And it's going to happen fast. It isn't a reference to the second coming. But he's also saying at the second coming, listen, if all the things don't work right now, they will then. I'm hearing your prayers. I know you're crying out. But you just hang on and keep praying and keep seeking me because the day's coming. And when that day comes, it's going to happen quickly. And he says, what I want to know, where there'll be faith on earth. Will you have given up or will you have remained faithful? Even though the answer hasn't come as quickly as I thought, even though the answer may be on the other side of the return of Christ, I have held on to the faith. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. You remember what Paul said there? And there now, therefore, is a crown laid up. Keep praying. Keep praying. God will answer at the right time and in the right way and will reward the diligent and persistent prayers of his children. I came across something I read some time ago about a man named Otha Anders of Ruston, Louisiana. Mr. Anders spent 45 years of his life bending down and collecting something that most of us ignore, pennies. And he walked into his bank on October of 2015. He's a 73-year-old man, a former supervisor for in-school suspended children. And he walked into his local bank after 45 years of picking up pennies, and he brought with him 15 five-gallon jugs of pennies. He deposited those. Wouldn't you like to have been that bank teller? He deposited those into his account, and it totaled $5,136.14 worth of pennies. The bank's coin machines took 5 hours to count all the pennies. But listen to me. His persistence in picking up pennies, which were generally and are generally not worth the time to pick them up, paid off with a surprising reward, didn't it? Now listen to me. Persistent praying is like that. I'm praying, I don't think anything's happening. I'm praying, I don't think anything's happening. I'm praying, nothing seems to be happening. But I want to tell you something. Persistent praying adds up and is eventually rewarded with a wonderful result from God. It's why Jesus gave us this parable, to encourage us to keep praying and not lose heart. It's why Paul said in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know what prayer is? It's our uplink. It is our uplink to God. So keep it up. And don't give it up. Persist. It's prescribed. It's powerful, and it's profitable. Father, I know there are people in this place today who are probably weary in their journey, feel like giving up. Father, would you use your word today to remind them to keep on? Regardless of what they feel, regardless of what they've seen, to keep on. Knowing that the day is coming when you will reward the persistent prayer, the persistent knocking, the persistent asking, that you will reward that in a very wonderful, profitable way. Encourage people today, I pray, to stay in the fight, to fight on as good soldiers in prayer. Now, Lord, for those that are in this place who have no relationship with you, I pray that today they would change all of that. Father, help them understand that relationship is what you created them for, and that they can know you. It doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, where they've been, no matter how egregious they feel their sin is, you paid for all of it. Help them to come today and say, I want Christ to be my Savior. For those others that might be here, say, no, got it, got that. I think I'm going to, but I've been losing heart. Father, help them today to tell you again that they're going to renew their walk, their perseverance. And then, Father, for some, just need a family to belong to. Let this be the day, and let this be that place that they come, join, connect with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me for our invitation? And I want to invite you to slip out as we begin to sing from balcony or ground floor. I'll be here. Other staff members are going to be here along the way. Come to any of us. If you want to join this church, we'd love to have you come and say, I want this to be my church family. I'd like to connect here. I'd like to join and be a part of the Ridgecrest family. We'd love to have you. Hope you will. You may want to come and bend a knee and pray on this altar. Use it, okay? And then maybe you're here and say, I haven't trusted Christ. If I died, I don't know where I'd spend my eternity, but I want to be certain of that. I don't want to walk out guessing about that anymore. Enough is enough. I'm going to settle that. Would you slip out? You come. Take one of us by the hand. Say, this is the decision that I'm making. Are you ready as we sing together right now? Start moving. Come on, right now. Well, today we've been talking about persistence, in particular persistence in prayer, and how powerful and profitable it is. But for prayer to have that kind of power and profit in your life, it has to be combined with a relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. And there's nothing you've done that He can't forgive you of. And I want to invite you, if you've never put your trust in Christ as your Savior, to do just that right where you are right now. Call on Him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So you can say something like this in your heart to Him. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for my sins. I know I'm a sinner, but I thank you that you died for all of my sins. And right now, I want you to be my Savior. I invite you to come into my life and be my Lord and Master and Savior. Now, I want to tell you, if you'll call on Him like that, He'll hear that prayer. That's a prayer God hears of anyone. And so I want to urge you to do that if you've never trusted Him as your Savior. And then if you call on Him and to be your Savior today, we'd love to help you in that new journey. We have some growth material we'd like to send to you. It's free. There are no strings attached. Just let us know. You'll see contact information on the screen in front of you. Let us know about your decision, and we'd love to get that material to you. And then, of course, to all of our audience, I want to invite you to come and visit with us here at Ridgecrest if you do not already have a church home. We have two Sunday morning services. We have an 8:15. We call it a blended service. It has both choir and orchestra, praise and hymns. And then we have a 10:50 service that is a band-driven, very relaxed, very contemporary service. In both services, my message will be the same. But you may have a particular style you like, and so we invite you to come and visit in either of those. We love new people. We're not a perfect church, but we're a healthy church. And health is extremely important when it comes to the family of God. And so come and visit with us if you're looking for a place or do not already have a church home. And then check us out on the web, www.rbcdothan.org. A lot of information about ministries, things that are going on right here. You have access to podcasts, video on demand, streaming, all sorts of things there, as well as detailed information about events and other things happening here at Ridgecrest. So check us out there. And then, of course, like us on all the social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We have a presence on all of those, and we'd love for you to be one of our followers there. Well, again, it's been good to have you tuned into the broadcast today. I hope you've been encouraged by God's Word It has been my joy to share it with you. And I look forward to doing that again next week at this same time on this channel. Look forward to seeing you then. Until then, may the Lord bless you.